This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The big question, why the new rush to gold?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Steve Chiotakis. Gold hit an all-time high today, topping $1,412 an ounce. So the big question is, why? Why are investors putting their faith in gold? Marketplace's Elisa Roth joins us live from New York. This is the highest prices have been, Elisa, since everybody worried that Greece could go bankrupt back in June. What's happening now?
Well, it's really the same kind of flight to safety that we're seeing. Investors are nervous, and they want to put their money someplace that'll make them feel better. I talked to Justin Urquhart-Stewart this morning. He's an investment manager in London. He says it's about feeling secure.
I almost see gold as a bit like being a financial teddy bear. You can cuddle it, you can hold it, you can put it on your pillow next to you.
Now, people have clearly been anxious about the economy for a while, and that's reflected in the gold prices, which have gone up something like 1.5 times in the last 2 years. Right now, though, people are worried about the dire fiscal situation in places like Ireland and Greece again. They're concerned that the Fed's attempt to stimulate the economy could lead to inflation, which would be bad for the dollar. And then there's this G20 meeting this week where they're going to talk about currency.
I confess I'm not feeling so warm and cuddly right now. What's the connection to the weak dollar?
Usually the price of gold goes up when the dollar falls. So people who might otherwise put money into dollars turn to gold instead. The other thing is it's not just gold. People have been buying all kinds of precious metals. So platinum and palladium prices are both up. And silver is going for $28 an ounce, which is the highest it's gone for in something like 30 years.
Elisa Roth in New York, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. European stocks have reversed course from yesterday's losses. At this hour, exchanges in London, Paris, and Frankfurt are all up around 2/3 to nearly 0.75%. Asian stocks were mixed today after a down day on Wall Street. BP's former boss is admitting his company was unprepared to deal with the scale of the spill in the Gulf of Mexico. Tony Hayward has been speaking to the BBC about the events earlier this year. Just last night, the Obama administration's inquiry into the cause of April's environmental disaster found no evidence BP or its partners cut corners to save money. From London, the BBC's Rebecca Singer has more.
Tony Hayward stepped down as chief executive of BP at the end of September, but he's given the BBC a frank account of events during the Gulf oil spill. He says BP were making it up day to day and argues what was going on was some extraordinary engineering. But when it was played out in the full glare of the media, it looked like fumbling and incompetence.
We tried to be open and transparent. We gave access to the operation. But the reality is we were completely overrun and just not prepared to deal with the intensity of the media scrutiny.
During the crisis, BP's shares fell by as much as 50%, and Hayward told the BBC that at one point it was unable to borrow money from the credit markets. BP lost more than $17 billion in the quarter coinciding with the Gulf spill, but last quarter the company announced it returned to making a profit. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, helping doctors, lawyers, and small business owners monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. ReputationDefender.com. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at Vanguard.com/public radio. and by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
We continue our Future of Transportation series now. Houston, Texas is probably best known as a capital of big oil. But the nation's fourth largest city is also trying to position itself as a leader in electric cars. From KUHF, Wendy Siegel has our story.
Software developer Steve Cobb is showing me his 2002 Chevy pickup in his office garage.
Well, this is the bed of the truck, and there are 26 batteries in the truck.
2 years ago, this Texas native took out his gas engine and swapped it for a battery pack.
This is the sole energy source for the truck, and as you see on the side there, the cord goes in where the gas tank used to be.
Cobb doesn't worry about draining his batteries on his 16-mile commute between work and home, but others may be more anxious about running out of power with no plug in sight. Mayor Anise Parker says Houston provides the perfect testing ground for the electric car.
We're a sprawling city that's built around the automobile. If we can convince Houstonians that electric vehicles are the way to go, then it can work anywhere.
Right now, Houston has just 10 public chargers, but there's federal grant money to build 25 more in the coming months. They'll be installed in places where people park for a while, think malls and city parking lots. And a big chunk of the charging network will be paid for by a power company called NRG. In Houston, NRG is planning to spend some $10 million on roughly 60 chargers by the end of the year. David Crane is the CEO of NRG.
They will never be more than 5 miles away.
NRG will install two types of chargers, including the rapid charger, which gives a half charge in just 15 minutes. Crane says there's still a debate over how many chargers need to be at each location because no one knows what the demand will look like.
It would be extremely frustrating for someone to limp into a charger station and see that there are five cars in front of them, each of which was going to spend 10 to 15 minutes.
Early adopters could also fork out $700 to $2,000 for a home charging unit and power up overnight. But even if you can keep your battery charged in Houston, it could be years before there's a network that allows electric vehicles to drive the 4 hours up to Dallas. In Houston, I'm Wendy Siegel for Marketplace.
One more thing. Say goodbye to a name that's become something of a cultural icon since we were first introduced 36 years ago.
Keep that great GM feeling
with Mr. Goodwrench.
That's us.
Not for much longer, though. Mr. Goodwrench is about to be buried along with Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Saturn, and Hummer in the General Motors brand graveyard. The carmaker reportedly plans a nationwide conference call with dealers today to outline its plan to, shall we say, retool its car servicing shops. The aim is to give each of its remaining product lines their own clear identity, so they've come up with these clever names instead: Chevrolet Certified Service, Buick Certified Service, Cadillac Certified Service. Gotta say, it kind of made me think about something one of those Goodwrench mechanics actually told me once: if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Over in the UK, people don't really have to pay much for health care and education. The government's got it. Big budget cuts mean that's changing and causing some consternation.
Well, yeah, they said the big society when it was first announced. I said it was the big con.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Bigger society, smaller government, maybe. That story, the rest of the day's business news as well next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.